Welcome to the Denim and Pearls Podcast, business casual conversation laced with pearls of wisdom. Casual, authentic, unscripted dialogue about life, work, and entrepreneurship with the perfect blend of laughter and seriousness. Pull up a chair, kick back, and lean in as we welcome your hosts, Michelle Ross and Brian Swanson.
Hey.
Hello.
How are ya?
I hope you're doing well. My name is Michelle Maras.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
And we are Denim and Pearls. We're a business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch.
From the porch. There you go. You found it. From the porch. So before we get into our topic, because today's topic is really kind of cool. I like ice cream.
I do too.
So ice cream man is our topic. But before we get into that, let's get the formalities out of the way, right? So like us. Share, subscribe, all those other fun things. Facebook, Rumble, Apple, Spotify.
All your favorite podcast places.
Yeah, all those. Okay. And what else are we going to do? That's about all we got today, isn't it?
That's all we got today.
Or you can follow us over, check us out over on our own website.
Oh, yeah, denimandpearlslive.com. You definitely want to go there. Sorry.
So anyway... Topic today, ice cream man.
I'm your ice cream man. Stop me while I'm passing by.
So what was interesting about that song that really kind of popped into your head today?
It's hotter than heck outside.
Oh, is that the only? I don't know. Some of our viewers might not be old enough to remember the ice cream man.
Look it up. It's a great song.
Well, I'm not just talking about the song, but the actual ice cream man himself.
Do they not have ice cream man anymore?
Very rarely do you see them anymore.
Or ice cream people?
I mean, Kona drives around.
I'm your Kona driver. You know what Kona is? Kona is it's shaved ice with, you put flavor sauce.
Hawaiian shaved ice.
Yes, it's pretty yummy.
It's a slushy.
But back when we were younger, there was an ice cream man and he would drive down the street and he would play this jingle and it would make all the children run out like the Pied Pipers out there.
Yeah.
And we would follow them until he stopped and then we would buy our ice cream. And whatever we wanted, ice cream wise, it was there.
Yeah.
Or as the song says, I have all your flavors and push-ups too.
Yes. Do you remember the push-ups?
You remember what push-ups Orange. Are? You know what push-ups look like to me? Toilet paper rolls.
You know, I actually seen that on a meme yesterday.
Me too.
We must have seen the same one.
But ice cream man.
We survived eating out of toilet paper rolls. How tough are you?
Well, the reason I like the song title and the title for our show is because I'm your ice cream man. Stop me while I'm passing by. Basically, he has all your flavors and push-ups too. Basically, he can fulfill all your needs for ice cream. And I thought,
yeah. Are you trying to throw an innuendo in there?
Yes. And what I wanted to talk about today is in our businesses that sometimes we try to be everything to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And therein lies the problem in my mind.
Well, I think that's part of it. But I mean, if you go strictly with what the words of the song say, he's driving by, he's got everything to satisfy you. But you have to make the effort to come to him in order to collect your bounty, if you will.
Oh, we had to make some serious. I remember running two blocks after
at least two blocks.
And I swear that ice cream man used to wrap around. He would just keep driving. He'd see all the 20 kids running behind and he would still keep driving.
Right. So that has to do with your business. I mean, are you driving down the street and expecting everybody to come into your, you know, come to your store, if you will?
Are you pulling or are you
pushing?
Pushing.
Oh, there's one I hadn't thought of. That's true. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the things. And it, you know, they always say location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's extremely important. However, you can't just throw out, as they say, put your shingle up and expect everybody to just walk in the door and all of a sudden you're making fortunes. So somehow you have to become an attraction. You have to become a destination.
Or what jingle do you play as you're going down the street? Because that's what the ice cream man did, right?
Well, he only did. It didn't really. I don't think anybody even cared what the jingle was.
I just remember.
I mean, they could have been playing "Running with the Devil," and as long as you knew the song that belonged to the truck, you were fine.
Unless it was that creepy clown music. I remember doing. I don't know if I want to go to that ice cream.
Yeah, some people think of it when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know.
So, are you pushing? Are you pushing? Pushing, pushing forward, back. I was pushing. Do you know that song?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know this one.
Okay. Well, anyways, I don't know it either. I don't know who sings it. I just have it in my head. But really, in your business, are you pushing? Are you pulling? Have you set up shop and say, I have everything. I don't know why everyone's not coming to me. I'm like the only person who does this and I'm the best one at it. Right. Or are you fishing? Are you throwing out a net? Are you letting them know what you do? Are you clear about what you do? I know for many, many years in my business, people didn't know what I did because I did so many things that they didn't know what to come to me for.
I don't know anybody who has that problem. Jack of all trades.
Yeah. So, master of none.
Well, the one way that I look at it too is if you look at marketing, marketing is about attracting people. It's about getting them into your store. It's about getting your product sold. It's whatever. Marketing is that root of all evil of what we have to do in order to have a successful business. But I also think about it from the standpoint of when I was doing a lot of networking, I knew everybody in town. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Because all you had to do was walk into Walmart and not see a single soul that you knew.
Oh, goodness.
Think about how do you always have to come to the conclusion of how do I get my marketing that will reach all of those people in that store? I may not know them personally, but how do I get my word to them? Because you look at, take a look. I don't care if it's Walmart, if it's Safeway, any grocery store, department store, whatever. You walk in there, how many people, even if you're in a small town like we are, how many people in that grocery store or that store do you know?
None.
That's typically what it is, unless you get lucky and run across a friend. Mm-hmm. But how do you have to think about how do you reach those people, whether it's through social media, which is what our typical big one is now. But what about how do you get to somebody who doesn't do social media? And there's a lot of them out there within our markets, our demographics.
Well, and that's when you work with a coach and they say, who's your market? And you say, everybody needs my product.
Everybody with skin.
And they do. No, you need to narrow that down because not everybody, when you walk into a grocery store, one, you don't know them all. And two, do you want to know them all? Mm-hmm. Are you for everyone? And so you have to market down to what you really want. Like the ice cream man, his demographic or her demographic were young children who wanted ice cream. Right? So what do? You make your truck make pretty music that tinkles, tink, 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 tink. Set their mind to they hear that song. They can hear one note and know exactly that it is the ice cream man. The other thing is,
and it was tinny and you could hear it all the way down to the other neighbor.
Yes. They also made their truck colorful because they were attracting young kids who wanted ice cream. Mm-hmm. What are you doing in your business to attract your ideal client?
So if they would have looked like a military vehicle, they probably wouldn't have, probably not a good marketing scheme.
Yes. So what are you doing in your business? And that's really what the ice cream man theme is about, is what are you doing in order to draw the correct people, the people your demographic, the market you want, mm-hmm. to your store. You could be in the middle of the plushest of plush places, but if that's not your demographic, then you're in the wrong place. If you are only advertising on, let's say, TikTok, and your demographic are people over the age of 50, you're probably not going to get the market you want off of TikTok. You talk to most millennials and they'll do, what are you doing on Facebook? No one's on Facebook.
Right.
People over 50 are.
Well, typically, if you look at our demographics with some of the stuff that we do, it's typically 35 to 45 year old females or women, as they put it on Facebook. You know, but that's really our target range. And our target range actually goes up into the 60, like 65, mm-hmm. you know. So when it comes to doing the speakers camp coming up, you know, when you look at that, who is our demographic for that? It's kind of everybody, but on the other side of it, it's people who have got the money to spend on it, who think that they're going to get the value out of it.
Who know they're going to get the value at it.
Right.
or the go-getters who want to improve their message and improve their stage presence and their ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. And like everyone with skin, everyone who has a business needs to be able to communicate better. But because of the demographic and the people that we reach and how we reach them, we have to narrow that down. Small businesses who need to get their message out clearer. That's who the demographic is for the Unapologetic Speaking Camp.
Right. And I think we have to look at our, not only our business, but it's also like our spouses. We still have to impress them, sort of. Wait a minute. Did I say that out loud?
Julie, did you hear that? He said he has to impress you.
So you still have, you still, wine and well, that was the other thing we were talking about last week, a week before, something like that, the four love languages or whatever it is, the mm-hmm. buckets mm-hmm. and whether the bucket's full or not full and whose is and whose isn't and what goes in those buckets. And there's a book out there, but I don't remember it.
It's called like the four love languages or something like
right. that. Right. It's about filling up the bucket, and certain people have certain wants, needs, desires that they have to be full of this bucket, and another bucket they have to be full of, you know, they like to get presents and gifts. Everything else doesn't matter, but their presents and gifts is important. Whereas this one over here, you know, hugs and love.
And the other one just wants you to wash the dishes every once in a while, you know,
yeah,
or do the laundry or whatever. And so you need to know the love language, mm-hmm. the draw language for your client base.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got to speak the same language. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing if you do a networking group or what they call one-on-ones, okay? You meet up with somebody or you do a kitchen table presentation or something along those lines. You still have to understand, you both have to understand each other for it to be good communications. So if you can adapt to the language of the other person, your sale is going to have a higher sell ratio.
Well, and that's why Brian and I both studied, you know, human personalities, basically, how people react to what. And honestly, anyone with a business needs to learn one of those things, be it, you know, was it DISC, bank code,
Star is my favorite.
What's the other one? It's a big one.
Myers-Briggs.
You know, you need to learn some of those things so that you can read your client base, and then you build an avatar person who mm-hmm. fits those demographic, and you do, okay, these are the kind of traits they have. These are the things they like. This is the kind of things they want to hear from me. You can be the most analytical person, but your client base may be a very action-oriented person. So you need to be able to talk to them in their language. How many times have you heard a commercial when they do 35% of blah, blah, and you immediately turn the channel? You're probably not an analytical person. But the analytical person, like my husband, would do, wait, what's that statistic?
Yeah.
And that's what he wants. I want to know, you know, something prettier about it, you know?
Well, I was just thinking of something. I just totally lost it.
Oop.
It went
poof.
Oh, I'm thinking about, have you seen the commercials these days? I mean, I know you don't watch a whole lot of TV, but there's commercials out there. I can't understand why we're talking about it. I guess I'm old.
You are.
Thanks.
So am I.
But that old fashioned, and I don't like, there's a commercial out there, I'm pooping on TV. I'm like, who is that drawing attention to? I mean, I understand because I know what the product is, but we're not going to go into that.
It's the pattern and interrupt.
Right. But it's the stuff that that's part of it. But the other side of it is too, they're trying to get to a specific crowd. Okay. So because of their product. And I understand that, but it makes me think that we laxed our standards.
Well, I was watching a show with my husband the other night, and I can't say what the show is, but basically you can tell the demographic were people over the age of 50 with incontinence, because all the commercials were about incontinence and or prostates and things like that. I'm like,
so you must have been watching like the movie channel or classic movie channel or whatever it is.
No, I was watching, I don't remember what I was watching, but seriously, that's a good way of learning how to figure that kind of mm-hmm. stuff out. What show are you watching? And notice the trend in the commercials.
Right.
TV is very, or you know, streaming, they're very good at putting the commercials to the demographic that tends to watch it. Right. They know how old you are. If you have 2.3 children, if they're in college, how many dogs you have, they know it right. by the people who watch the show.
Right.
And well, then they tailor all their commercials that way.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of Turner Movie Classics. Mm-hmm. Because when I was at home with my mom and that, she always...
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, there's... Yeah, there's tons of those commercials. And it's not... It's like the same commercial shows 1,500 times a day. I don't know how they afford the marketing for it. They must get a heck of a deal. Because every commercial break has got the help, I can't get up. But they've
exact
got...
Exact same commercial.
They've got the Depends commercials. They've got... All of this stuff. Oh, the other one is check your Social Security to see if you qualify for this and that. I can't tell you how many times I heard those commercials.
Or the other one is, have you been involved in an accident?
Well, those guys are local and they usually post on the news and everything.
No, I was thinking there used to be one about, you know, melophysioma or something like that. Were you working at the base on such and such 1947 to 1958?
There's actually one about those going through right now.
Really?
Yeah.
If so, then make sure you call such and such and such and such. They know the demographic. They basically just said the age group of who they're after by saying, we know you were probably in this area. You know somebody.
Right.
So what is your demographic? If you watch cartoons with your kids, if you have kids that are young enough, or you watch kids shows, Nickelodeon or Disney, the commercials are not these incontinence commercials and things like that. It's McDonald's and, you know, I have this toy, you know, those kind of things. So what if you were going to make a commercial for the people that you were drawing?
For your business.
For your business, what would they be watching?
And this should also be part of, I mean, it should really be part of your marketing plan. It should be part of your business plan in general. Now, your demographics may change a little bit once you start evolving your business and coming up with those patterns on how you do things, those structures on how you do things in those plans. So everything may change a little bit, but really and truly, your product is going to be geared towards a certain age group or a certain gender or a certain race. I mean, everything, it depends on where your product is. It really does. So
know your product, know it well,
right?
And then examine what you're really good at with your product and who are you really serving.
Yep.
So like if you're out there right now, like Brian likes to say, anyone with skin, are you?
That's because I've heard that one so many times.
Are you looking for people with skin that is dry? People who have skin that is oily. Yes, your products probably carry and take care of all those kind of things, but who is your biggest buyer? What product do you know well? And so like if I was selling a product of skincare, I would be concentrating not on acne because I don't have an experience with that at this point.
So you got
in time
some cool
in my
products
life.
Out for that now.
I know, well, I don't. So but I would be focusing on in my age group because I can speak to it, wrinkle cream. I'm 54 years old. I don't have wrinkles. People would be looking at me doing whatever in the heck you're using. I want to use it too. And I can talk to it because that's what I use.
I'm checking to see if I have, what do they call those things here? Crow's feet?
Crow's feet.
I don't think I have any, do I? I'm not there yet. Shh, don't. Hey, actually, I got the thing. There's one of those products out there that is sold through direct marketing. Or direct sales, whatever you want to call it, that gets rid of your wrinkles and stuff like that. I thought about that product the other day. I was like, do I need that?
They're all temporary.
Are they really? I didn't know that. So, well, another case. There's a lot of those MLM businesses, those direct sales businesses, those kind of things that we're always looking for somebody to grow our business with. In other words, we're recruiting, okay? It's not a bad word. We're always recruiting for those kind of businesses and we're hoping that they can be a downline. They can do these kind of things. Well, where do you find those downlines? I mean, because that's the same thing. You have to know who's your market in order to recruit. There's a lot of crossover between MLMs because they're, for instance, I always say somebody's not going to do Mary Kay and probably want to do the financial services Primerica that I do. Okay. I shouldn't say that, but I did. Okay. They're two different people. They might be a same person. They might fit the demographic for both, but somebody who does makeup doesn't necessarily have the strategic mind or the analytical mind for finances, and they're not going to enjoy the job. So who's your market? Who can you hire that's going to help you grow your business? And I'll tell you what, it's always women.
That's because we're go-getters.
It's always women. The majority of your go-getters, even the ones who have successful, there are successful men, there's usually a woman behind them pushing them the other way too. It's not always, there's not very many guys just on their own, you know. So you have to know what your market. I mean, you're not going to go down the street and hit somebody that's...
Bring out your dead.
Who's holding a sign on a street corner that's probably not your market. So you can't say just anybody. Okay, and the same thing goes with skincare. The guy on the corner probably can't afford your... Well, some can. But the guy on the corner theoretically probably does not have the finances in order to get a monthly subscription to your skincare. Does that make sense?
Nope, not at all.
Not at all? Okay, well, then we don't have anything else to talk about.
But that's the thing, is know your target market. Really. Even if you get it down to, you know, 10 qualities, great. But you need to start narrowing it down. And as you narrow it down, try it out and then see if that works and then shift it again until you narrow it down to so-and-so between this age for this, likes this, wants to go skiing on the weekend, wants free time, travels out of the country once every year. You know, you want to know that because you are going to speak directly to that person.
Right.
And that's what what I'm doing at the Unapologetic Speaker Camp, is helping you narrow it down. Because your words are what will draw them. Your emotional state will draw them. And so often, it always makes me cringe when I hear people do, I'm a financial advisor, and they end it with a question. Are you or are you not? Do you know what you are?
So you mean as they make the statement, they're making the statement as a question.
I mean, how many of you
advisor?
When you really? You go to a networking meeting and do, hi, my name is, you know, so-and-so, and I'm a accountant, and I do, and they end with a question. Listen, it's because they're so afraid to say what they are because they're kind of embarrassed to say it out loud, I guess. I don't know.
Well, some of it has to do with confidence. Mm-hmm. Some of it has to do with the ability to be... To be able to actually network, okay, and the experience that you've had, some of it has to do with that. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the job that they're doing and that they're embarrassed by.
What I'm saying is the impression when you end mm-hmm. any statements of who you are right. with a question,
right?
That's the coach in me coming out. That puts a question mark into everyone's minds. So when you're out there talking about your business, before you go into any networking group, I want you to be very firm on who you are, what you do.
Well, that's why we practice our 30 seconds mm-hmm. or elevator pitch or whatever it comes down to.
And say it from the heart
and
why you love it.
When you're in the finance business, when it comes to networking, because we're a little bit different animal in the finance business than most of the other ones.
Well, it's a touchy subject.
It's a touchy subject. It's very, very personal. It is something that everybody, when you say finance, everybody gets this really bad impression. Or you say the word insurance, but you can't. How else do you describe your business?
Yeah,
some people stop and think when they're learning the process, how do I really say this? Because I know as soon as I say the word investments, life insurance.
Yeah. And you can't go into a networking group and say, does anyone know anyone dying today? No, you can't do that. So you have to.
I should try that one. I haven't tried that.
Because we all are. And you need to prepare for that kind of thing. And, you know, people crazy like me could do that. Okay. And people will laugh and do, well, actually, I am. But not everyone can pull that off because it's a serious subject. So I don't walk on stage and do you regret every day of your life? And people do, huh? Well, you need to step into who you are. Stop apologizing for what you aren't and embrace who you are now. Let's go make it the best version of you. Come with me. Let's go do it.
Right.
You know?
I'm just thinking of anybody in here. It's probably not funny on the real world, but with you talking about it, it's like, anybody dead in here?
Anybody wish they had a life insurance? Are you dead? You know, because we don't think about it and insurance and preparing for the future, especially future that is unknown, is a very hard sell. And so you have to know your business and be confident enough to know, you know, I know what I'm talking about. And so when you say it, I
wonder if I can mix fortune telling and life insurance together.
If you can do that, you'd be a bazillionaire.
There's an interesting concept. Because see, if I could set you down at the kitchen table and go, in my crystal ball here, you are going to die someday.
And you need term insurance with the writer. You know, if all of us were fortune tellers, we could do that.
The ball says we need to get started today.
So, know your target audience. Now, I'd like to get slightly into the ice cream man and relationships. You can't be everything to your spouse, your significant other. You can't be everything. But you can be the best at what you are good at, right? Hmm? And you discuss it and you compromise and you figure out, okay, well, you give a little, I'll give a little. And
there's a song there.
There is?
Give a little, take a little, take a little.
Oh, it's give a little. It's pick a little.
Yes.
Tick a little, pick a little, tick a little. No, it's pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick, tick a little, tick a little.
Anyway.
Anyways. We digress.
We slightly went off.
So you're the ice cream man. Stop him while he's passing by. What ice cream do you have for your significant other? I mean, are you trying to be everything and not succeeding at any of them? Or are you really good at one or two? And so you amplify that. You are the best cook. You're the best cleaner-upper. Don't worry, honey. You cook. I'm going to clean up. You know, those kind of things.
I actually ran across somebody like that the other day.
What?
She hates to cook, but she loves to clean.
Can you introduce her to me?
You actually know her, but that's beside the point. I've never heard anybody say that. She did. That's what she told me the other day.
I know. She's like,
I love to clean, but I can't stand to cook.
I love to cook. I hate to clean, but I love to clean bathrooms.
Are you saying that as a fact?
Uh-huh. You know why? Because when you clean a bathroom, it's pristine. And
so you like the satisfaction of the end product.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I could get that off of something totally different than a bathroom.
I like scrub and grout. I don't know why. I just do.
I got some over here.
But I hate sweeping. Oh, my gosh. I hate sweeping. And I hate mopping. Even that Swiffer thing. I don't like doing that either. So
you know what I actually enjoy the most?
Folding
laundry. If I have to clean house.
What?
No, I hate folding laundry.
I love folding laundry, too.
No.
I like the precision of it.
I like vacuuming.
Oh, okay.
Because I can do almost anything with a vacuum.
Really? Can you come to my house? My windowsill is way up on that 12th exactly. level. I can't reach it, and I just hate looking at it.
I do like vacuuming for some reason. Because you can vacuum the floor and not touch another thing, and it looks like you cleaned. I think that's the kid in me when Mom used to make me clean every Saturday.
And see, that's the kid and me cleaning the bathroom. We all had different jobs. I mean, two of us would have to, polish the brass. The other one would have to do all the wood. And I always got the bathrooms and I could clean porcelain and it would be so pristine and shiny and clean. And it was perfect. The chrome would be, I loved it. You knew when I walked out of that bathroom that it was perfect.
That's because you didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, my father was like military grade. My mom, my uncle would walk through with a white glove. I mean, it was crazy.
Military corners.
Yeah, really? Mm-hmm. Seriously? Mm-hmm. I can make a bed like no other.
I gave that up a long time ago.
So did I. But I can when I want to.
When I figured out the wife didn't really care, I didn't go to that.
When we got married, I told my husband, I will not square corner any of your shirts. Do not expect me to. I got it. It was compromise.
Well, I used to do all of our, because both, the wife and I both were in the military. I did most of the ironing when it came to our daily uniforms and stuff.
You know how I got out of ironing? Because I don't like ironing. I starched my father's BDUs. Do you know what a BDU is?
Yeah. Well, that's why I said the daily uniform.
But the BDUs cannot be starched because then you put a shine on them and they are no longer camouflage.
Oh, well, those were the
old ones.
That was the greens.
Yeah,
that was
the old ones.
Yeah, that was the olive drab.
My father. I mean, geez.
Yeah, 50. That was the olive drab, though, and that wasn't the BDUs. The BDUs were the camouflage kind.
Yes.
And yeah, you weren't supposed to.
And so when I,
but I was in the Air Force.
When I starched my, no, the Air Force had greens. And, but, you know, my dad's in his 80s. So it was a long back in the 70s or so, early 80s. And I starched his uniforms, all of them, perfectly. And he came home and he went, "Thank you, Michelle. I got to go buy new uniforms because I destroyed them."
Spendy little adventure.
I destroyed them all. You know, just like, you know, I didn't like washing clothes. So I put a red shirt in with all of his underwear. And back then, all their underwear was white.
Did undershirts, you do that everything. On purpose?
No, I didn't. But I could never get the pink out of his clothes. So
you can't. Once it's dyed, it's dyed.
I washed it and washed it, put bleach in it. Never came out. So I lost the duties of washing clothes and ironing. Just FYI.
I wish I could lose those duties.
You could just fail so tremendously that you learn that you don't have to do it. It was a bonus for me.
So anyhow, what does this have to do with the ice cream, man?
You can't be everything for everybody. I mean, you really can't. Like when our kids used to clean the house for us, we'd, you know, give everybody a duty. Or in my case, all six kids, we all had a duty to clean in the house every weekend before we could leave the house. I said duty. Well, the thing is I wasn't good at dusting. Because I would dust and I would just put dust other in other places. This was before Swiffers and all those things that grab static. Like, I mean, I'm old. We had feather.
We've had dusters. This discussion already. Today.
We had feather dusters. Okay. So if you didn't dust right, it would just, the dust would just go to the next place. I was terrible at it. So I did do it. I did the bathrooms. My sister hated bathrooms. So she liked to dust. So we switched. So ice cream man. I couldn't be the multi-flavored child of cleaning. I was very good at certain things, very detailed, shiny things. I was good at that. So that's what I stuck with. So in your business, in your household, what are you really good at and what can you delegate? I'm an amazing cook, so I don't wash dishes. I apparently cannot load dishwashers, so I don't do that. Stick to your strengths.
I think that's a good one, but when it comes, we mean you can't load a dishwasher.
According to my husband and my daughter, I do not load them correctly because the way the water hits them, it gets pulled in the cups or something. I don't know. I don't put them upside down. I don't know what I do wrong, but apparently I don't care. So yes, I am terrible at dishwasher loading. So someone
else. But see, you always want to be terrible at it because that way you don't ever have to do it again.
That's my point.
Which is why I should have never, you know, made my bed in the first place when I was younger. I did, you know, because mom never made it after that.
See? So what are you really good at? And stick to what you're really, really good at. And if you can improve on something, then improve on it. But don't keep, you know, busting your butt trying to do something you're really, really bad at. Hire someone. If you're in a business and you're like, oh my gosh, my accounting, I missed that deadline again. I'll hire someone. And if you can't afford to hire someone to do that you're not good at, especially here in the US with all the tax rolls and everything, hire someone to do it so you don't mess up. That's what I'm getting at. You cannot be
guys,
everything.
Hire a maid to clean the house. Gets us all out of trouble.
That's great advice. So think about in your business the things that you struggle in, the things that someone else could do in an hour and it's taking you 2 weeks to do it. Find someone else, trade services with someone. Say, hey, you know, you're really good in accounting, but I'm very good at marketing. I'll do your marketing, set that up if you would help me with my taxes.
Bartering.
Barter.
Ooh, there's an idea.
Especially when you're new in your business, because our finances are, you know, really tight when you start off in a business. When I'm saying startup, I'm saying the first 5 years of your business, if you make it that long. You'd make it longer if you barter with someone else who knows how to do things better than you, and you know how to do things better than them, and trade.
Which is another whole topic, because we can talk about hats. How many hats you wear in your business, how many hats you can get. We've talked about it before.
Yeah, why do you think I'm here with Brian? The man's a tech guy. I cannot do this stuff.
I screwed that up last week.
Oh yeah, he did. But he fixed it. But that's the thing. He knew how to fix it. I would have said, oh, I think the computer's broken. Time to get a new computer. That's what that would be.
You're not that bad. Come on now.
Okay, I can be though. My laptop died. My first instinct was buy a new computer. Brian's like, oh, you just have to empty that cache. And oh, you've got this backup trash can that's completely full. Oh my gosh, look at all the files in there. I had no idea that on my Mac, I had to empty the back trash can. I only emptied the one that was on my screen.
It's called the recycle bin.
I had no idea. And so my computer had filled up. But see, someone like Brian understood there's other things behind what I see on the front. What are you doing in your business that you don't realize? And you think, oh my gosh, I need tech support. Trade with somebody, someone who knows how to do it. Instead of paying $89 an hour for someone else to do, click empty basket.
This is true.
It's true. You've got people in your circle who know how to do things you don't. When you go to networking groups, listen. Listen to what people do and say, you know what? I need you and you need me, and tell them why.
Yep.
So I'm your ice cream man. Stop us when you're passing by. You don't have to be all 31 flavors. Okay. That's a lot of pressure on one small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Go partner up. Not all of us are marketing people. Not all of us know how to make graphic design things. Not everyone knows how to build a logo or catchy phrases. Not all of us know how to set up computers to do live streams. Some people know how to do live streams and podcasts like it's nothing, like they're drinking water. So if you need something, reach out to people who you know how to do it and trade with them.
And one comment that I think the marketing people will appreciate out there.
What?
If you're using Comic Sans Serif for your marketing,
please stop.
First of all, please stop. Second of all, hire somebody that knows what they're doing.
Or as my web designer said, can you please pick a font and stick with it?
Yeah, Comic Sans Serif is like the beginner's marketing, because everybody thinks, and I did it too. I really did.
I like the swirlies at the end of
all. It's really funny, because if you go back and look at all of my original marketing that I've done over the last, 15 years or something like that, it has evolved over the years. And it's a lot better. I mean, there's a lot better tools out there now too, but my imagination seems to have gotten better.
Good.
So anyway.
Ice cream man. You're not all 31 flavors for everybody. Don't even attempt to do it. You are a small business. If you are a small business, you need to partner with people so you can all grow together, build a team of all of you who need each other for another service, and you can grow together. Don't be alone. You don't have to rise to the top alone. There isn't one bubble that rises to the top. They come up in bubbles, a lot of bubbles. So if you want to rise, come all together and bubble together and rise.
No, you need to be get us and go down.
Huh?
You enjoy beer, right? Mm-hmm. Guinness beer bubbles do not rise. They fall. So you must be a Guinness in your business.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyhow, at that note, think about that. Pour yourself a Guinness and figure it out. And we'll call it a day.
Okay. Have a great week, everybody. My name is Michelle Moras.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
We are Denim and Pearls. We are Business Casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch. And we'll see you next week, Friday.
Mm.
Bye-bye.
Peace.